In the name of Jesus, amen. As we stand on the cusp of our Lord's incarnation and birth for us, we consider the words from the book of Hebrews, these words. When Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me." Now, you may have heard in your lifetime someone saying to you, "Don't put God in a box." Typically, that will translate into, "Don't set limits on what God can and cannot do." And that is true. We should never think as Christians that God can't do this and God can't do that. We should not think that the limits of our mind and our understanding have anything to do with what God can do. But there is a world of difference between saying that we should not put God into a box and the boxes that God puts himself into for us. The blessings of God always come, in a sense, in boxes for us. He prescribes his own limits for his own sake. He puts himself into a box, into a body, and I tell you that it's always been about the body. Again, the author of the Hebrews says, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings, you have taken no pleasure." At first glance, when you hear these words, they might sound odd to you, given that you may well know that the Lord established a sacrificial system of worship. In that newly made yet broken world, you may remember that God took and sacrificed animals and took their skins and covered the guilt and the shame of our first parents, Adam and Eve. You remember that when Noah stepped off the ark, he offered a sacrifice of thanksgiving that God had preserved him and the other seven souls for God's holy habitation. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, throughout the entire Old Testament, as we see them, would build altars and offer sacrifices of thanksgiving that would mark significant events by which God had upheld and redeemed his people and favored his people. These sacrificial offerings would then become standardized when the Lord rescued his people from Egypt, from the great hand of Pharaoh. You remember, the blood of that unblemished lamb would cause the angel of the Lord to pass over the houses of his people, staying the Lord's hand of righteous judgment. Eventually, as God's people make their way to Mount Sinai, the Lord then would establish liturgical worship. And at the center of that worship was an altar and its sacrifice. Every morning and every evening, the people would bring offerings of sacrifices, oxes and goats and lambs and sheep. Whenever someone would sin, they would bring a sacrifice to the Lord's altar and offer it as an atoning sacrifice. And once a year, the Day of Atonement, as they called it in the Old Testament, they would bring their animal sacrifices, and the priest would take the blood of that sacrifice into the Holy of Holies and place it on the altar, spray it on the altar. When we reach the time of the prophets, the Lord begins to preach against these sacrifices. Through the mouth of the prophet Amos, he'll say this. He say, "I hate and I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies." King David will cry out in Psalm 51, "Sacrifices and burnt offerings I have not desired, but a broken and contrite heart, O Lord, you will not despise." So one wonders, why are the sacrifices being rebuked by the prophets, even though the Lord had put them into place? How could he speak against what he himself had instituted? It's almost like a pastor speaking against the institution of baptism and the Holy Supper. Here's what the problem was. The Lord had instituted the sacrifices as a temporary preaching of the gospel. Yet the people, in their sin, had turned it into a permanent institution of the law. But the blood of bulls and goats and lambs spilled on altars was not sufficient to take away human sin. After all, how could the blood of an animal take away human guilt? But their blood, their sacrifice, pointed forward to the blood and a final sacrifice that Jesus would give. So, if you and I were living during the time of the Israelites, and we sinned, we would take an animal, a sheep or a goat or a lamb, and we would carry it into Jerusalem or the nearest altar, and we'd hand it over to the priest. And then he would kill it, and he would drain its blood, and then he'd take the animal and he'd burn it on the altar. Which is why I would have never made it to the priest back in that day. And as we watched the animal burn, and as we saw the flames destroy the flesh of the animal, so the smoke rose to heaven, and we would know that the Lord accepted the death of another in our place, and for our guilt, and for our sin. And in that way, we knew that this institution, these sacrifices, were a time preaching for us something greater to come, preaching to us the blood of the one who was coming, the Christ child. But the people took this temporary preaching of the gospel and turned it into a permanent preaching of their works and of the institution of the law. The people of the Old Covenant thought, well, look, that the sacrifice was their work and their doing. They thought that by this act that they were appeasing the wrath of God. Look at me. Look at the animal I'm bringing, and look at the animal that my neighbor's bringing. It's not nearly as good as the animal that I'm bringing. Kind of thing. I'm the one that's sacrificing this goat for my sins. And so the prophets preach against this. And Jesus preaches against this in the Gospels. Because this is not an institution of the law, but rather of the gospel. And it's also one that you should know does not remain forever. But it has its telos, its end, its goal, if you will, in Jesus. So here's the big question. When did these sacrifices come to an end? When did God say, no more, no more are you to offer those animals as sacrifices on the altar at Jerusalem or any other altar? Well, it was on a night of our Lord's betrayal, when he sat amongst his disciples in an upper room, and he said these words to them. Words that you hear every Sunday and Thursday when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, the new testament, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins. When those words were spoken, when that word was intoned by our Lord Jesus Christ, the old covenant was closed. It was finished. Its purpose was accomplished. And now something new, something greater, something eternal was put in its place. And Jesus wants you to know that is, and Jesus wants to make that abundantly clear to you. So you have these words from the psalmist that the author to the Hebrews is quoting here in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7. And Jesus is speaking these words. He's speaking to God the Father. For God the Father is the one who has prepared a body for Jesus in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Jesus, you see, is setting the sacrifices of the old covenant against the work that he will accomplish in his very own body. It's not that the sacrifices themselves make Jesus pleased with us, but it's what they preached that made him pleased with us. So God the Father prepared a body for his Son Jesus, that by his bodily sacrifice we would be forgiven, that we would know that God is indeed pleased with us and that we are his holy children. Yes, God himself puts himself into boxes for us, into a womb for us. And this is, by the way, the reason why Elizabeth has such joy at the sight of her pregnant cousin Mary. This is why she cried out in those words, "Blessed is the fruit of your womb." Because what is the fruit of her womb? What is the fruits of Jesus' body? They are none other than forgiveness and peace and righteousness and eternal life. This is the reason why John left in the womb at the greeting of Mary, because God now has a body that which he will offer as a final and complete sacrifice for sins. That is, after all, why God has a body. So that he can carry our sins and he has something to be nailed to the tree with. He has a body so that he can sacrifice it, so that he can shed his blood and spill it for our sins. It's no accident that God has a body and that he has become flesh. That he himself puts himself into boxes, our flesh, to redeem our flesh, and God's body being nailed to the tree and raised on the third day is our righteousness, is our peace, is our eternal life. I do not believe it was by any accident that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, as the prophet Micah prophesied. That he was born in a feeding box, if you will, for animals, just 6 miles from Jerusalem. And while we cannot prove this without a doubt, certainly, it seems quite reasonable that those goats and those lambs and those sheep in the vicinity of Jerusalem likely ended up at the altar there in Jerusalem. So consider the night of our Lord's birth. Those shepherds who were out in their flocks, or shepherds out in their fields watching their flocks by night. They were likely watching lambs and sheep that would be sacrificed on the altar. The cattle lowing that we sing about that night. Eating the hay that Jesus was nestled in by her mother Mary and Joseph, her guardian. Those too, perhaps, were sacrificed. How fitting it is to consider the thought that Jesus is born among livestock that would end up being sacrificed, for that is why he came as well too. To die, to be sacrificed for our sins. So God the Father has prepared a body for his Son, and the Son determined to take that body upon himself in order to take away our sin and our death. By that willingness and that grace of the Father and the Son together, we have been sanctified and forgiven and made to be a holy people. This wasn't possible by the blood of animals or by our own will or by our own blood. but only by the blood of God flowing from the body of Jesus has done this wonderful thing. His bodily sacrifice on the cross is our only covering, our only righteousness, and our only peace in this life. And that is why there is joy among Mary and among Elizabeth, among John and among Zechariah, and among us as well. For the baby growing in the womb of Mary is the sacrifice to take away all sin. By Jesus' insistence to put himself into a box, into a womb, to die and make satisfaction for all our sin, you have been cleansed and made a holy people. May God grant you this comfort and this peace, both now and always. In the name of Jesus, amen.